Use the other mic.
So great to see you, almost all of you. I know a lot of people are away for the weekend, and why not? Why not indeed? It's been a long 9 weeks, a real long 9 weeks. I was kind of surprised. We just had the 9 o'clock service, and there were more people at the 9 o'clock than there were at the 11 o'clock, which is unusual. But I was really, really pleased to see all those familiar faces out there, and they were very, very pleased to be here as well. But what was great also was the words of the hymns. As we walked down the middle of the aisle, there was we're singing "Breathe on Me, Breath of God," and one line really stood out to me: "Breathe on me until my heart is pure. Breathe on me until my heart is pure." That is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit, is to purify us before the Father. Lockdown's been interesting. We were really privileged as a staff to be able to work from home. And I know not everyone is able to do that. And I know not everyone enjoys working from home. People are in different situations at home with kids of various and different ages. So I know some people are really pleased to hand their kids back to teachers and get back to school. Kevin would know about that. And also down at ECEC, I know that there's a number of relieved parents to have their kids back at EC again. We've been privileged enough to work from home. And we've been back in the office for 2 weeks now as a staff. We're back into the rhythm of how we work and how we meet and so forth. But it's interesting in this time, I didn't expect this. Going into lockdown was pretty full on. You know, we worked for 2 full weeks to get everything organized because it happened so quickly. I know the whole country was like that. But the thing that's really taken me by surprise, it's been really tiring actually coming out of lockdown, surprisingly tiring. And I think one of the reasons for that, I encountered it on Wednesday. On Wednesday, I go to Massey, as some of you know. I'm a chaplain, I'm in charge of the chaplaincy down there. And that I'm not doing that too much longer, by the way. So you know, because of the new build, we've got consent from the council. Thank you very much, council, to go ahead with our new build. Which is massive for us. So that satisfies a niche within me to sort of stretch out and get into the community and do that sort of work. So Massey's in a great position. So I can leave Massey in capable hands and pick up another half day here. So I'm going to be full time here at St. Mary's. But anyway, Wednesday morning, I was down at Massey. Everything's ticky boo here. I come to the front door and it doesn't open. What the heck is going on? And if someone lets me in, one of our staff let me in, and the students are in there vaguely around the campus. I don't know if you know Massey Wellington, but it's a bit of a warren. But all the doors were locked. I don't know why. I think Massey are incredibly conservative. But it's that kind of thing that actually is very tiring. So what happened is I had in my mind that I was going to come back up here, finish off in the office, and then go home and do my sermon. We'll do the sermon for today. There's some stuff to do here. I got back home, and the last thing I wanted to do was to bury my head in some books and do a sermon. So what do? When you're feeling like that, you sit in front of the TV and you switch on Netflix. I don't recommend that, but that's what I did. Anyway, I've started watching this episode or this series called Kingdom AD. I don't know if you've seen it, but it's about the disciples and it's about their lives after Jesus is gone. So I thought, I'll watch this. So I switched it on, and lo and behold, it was episode 3. And episode 3 was entitled "The Work of the Holy Spirit." I thought, here I am. This is it. This is the sermon. So I started taking some notes as well as doing some research and enjoying myself watching this. I do recommend it. It's very, very good. So often we get the focus on Jesus. We know the story of Jesus and the crucifixion, but the disciples are fascinating. Just fascinating. And the characterizations are good. And I'll show a little bit of it in a moment so you can get just a little taste of that. But I was struck by three things. I was struck by three things while reflecting on this passage in Acts, this amazing passage in Acts. And the first thing was the helplessness of those disciples. The helplessness of those disciples. Look, Jesus had he'd been crucified, roller coaster, okay, he's gone, leader's gone. Suddenly he rocks up, he's there. Oh my goodness, here he is, he's alive. Some people don't believe it. And then he disappears again, and these guys are left in this room while around them is this hotbed of political to-ing and fro-ing and fist-waving, essentially, and flexing of muscles. Now, it's really interesting because Caiaphas was portrayed in this as just losing the plot. A person so used to being in control. So used to being in control. Where was this body? For goodness sake, surely he hasn't been resurrected. This is rubbish. Where's the body? Pilate was the same. What the flip is going on? I trusted you, Caiaphas, to sort this out. So they murder. Pilate has all the soldiers who are at the tomb murdered. And that would have happened because they were witnesses to the resurrection. The temple guards, they too were murdered. So there's all this political intrigue sort of festering in Jerusalem. And these poor disciples are in this room going, what the flip is going on? They eventually need to escape. So they escape and they do what any sensible bloke would do when things are kind of crazy. They go fishing. I thoroughly recommend that. Men and women, go fishing. It's such a soul-giving, well, a life-giving thing to do. So they go fishing. There they are fishing away. And then Jesus appears on the shore. And of course, Peter, being Peter, jumps in, clothes and all. And on that shore, Jesus restores Peter, if you remember. And he says to him, he asks him, do you love me? He says, of course I love you, Jesus. And then he asks again, do you love me? Yeah, yeah, I do. Do you love me? Do you agape me? Yes, Jesus, I love you. Feed my sheep. And of course we know what that's alluding to with Peter, deep in his heart. And then he disappears again. Then they're wondering what to do. So, and he said to go to Jerusalem. What? Get back there, that's crazy. He said to do it. Okay, better do it. So off they go, back to Jerusalem, in this room again. Now, in the production we looked at, or I've been watching, Peter's daughter follows them. And they're waiting in this room, wondering what to do, just sort of, and of course Thomas is going, what's the plan, Peter? What's the strategy? What's the five-year plan? What's the vision? Sounds familiar? And of course, Peter hasn't got a clue. So he goes up on the roof that night, and his daughter comes up. She's really sweet. And she says, Dad, are you okay? And he goes, I don't know what to do. And eventually, she says, well, what would Jesus do? Which reminds me of that, you know, JDD movement, the wristbands, bracelets. And he goes, I've got it. Okay, let's watch and have a look and see what he decides to do.
John, wake up. All of you. Wake. Come.
What are we doing? We're praying.
Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done.
Now we can leave this place. Now spread his word.
Okay, obviously they had a bit of money to spend on special effects. And you know, watching any of these productions, it's always kind of, oh yeah, they got that wrong. Or, and this is so good looking in this, which is not true. Okay, but look, otherwise it's great. I do recommend it. So what struck me was the helplessness of those disciples. The second thing that struck me, and it strikes everyone with this passage from Acts, is the transformation that took place. These guys were not heroes. They were not heroes. And I mentioned that when we've been looking at the resurrection recently with our video sermons. And look, if those gospels were made up, and if I were Peter, I would have leant on John's shoulder and said, don't put that bit about the rooster in there. leave the bit about the sword in the ear. Leave that out. But it's all there. These guys were not heroes. Acts is often referred, or can be referred to as the fifth gospel. Jesus has ascended and the Holy Spirit comes. And these weak, fearful men are totally transformed. Peter comes out from there. You know, the tongue, they're speaking in tongues. There's tongues of angels and there's tongues of other languages. In this case, and it's quite rare, but it does happen, they were speaking tongues of other languages of the pilgrims who come from all around the Middle East. They're wondering what the heck's going on. They're hearing praises from God in their own language. Peter comes out and he preaches the sermon of his life, the first ever sermon of his life. Just absolutely full of the Holy Spirit. It's interesting with tongues. Some of you might use tongues, some of you may not. And as I said, there's tongues of angels, which is a private prayer language, which we can use. And there's also tongues sometimes in other languages. We're doing Alpha at the moment, and we're doing it online. There's about 40 people doing Alpha. We're doing that tonight, so Ruth and I are leading a group. On the Alpha course, they have a weekend on the Holy Spirit. And there's one thing that happened. Well, there's a number of things that happened. There's a story they relate. Pippa. I don't know if you know Pippa. And from HDB. She was relating a story where there were two women on that weekend. And one woman was praying for the other. It was Penny. Penny was praying for Anna. Now, Anna had come forward and she was praying for her. And she'd run out of things to pray. So she started praying in tongues. And Anna, her face just came alive. And she finished praying for her, and she said, that was great, thank you very much. She said, do you speak Russian? And she said, no. No, not at all. She goes, why? She goes, you were speaking in Russian to me, and I have learned to speak Russian because I love Russian. I love it. Really, what was I saying? You were saying, my beautiful daughter, my beautiful daughter, my beautiful daughter, in her favorite language. And she struggled to believe that she was lovable, this woman. So it just touched her exactly where she needed to be touched in spirit. My beautiful daughter, my beautiful daughter, my beautiful daughter. So it can still happen today, and it still does, where the Holy Spirit moves in such amazing ways that we cannot say it is of us. And transformation doesn't just happen to us, but it happens also to others through us. Transformation. The last thing that struck me, the third thing, was the location. The location. You noticed where the temple was in that bit of dramatization we just saw. The house where the disciples were was well away from the temple, and the temple was huge. People saved up for years and years and years to be pilgrims, to come to probably just once in their lifetime to see the temple where God dwelt. Yeah? And here they were walking past this old Middle Eastern house, and suddenly the heavens open up outside the temple. Now, the temple was where God dwelt. And the big boys, I'm sorry, because it was, women were not included a lot in those days, but this is how it was then. The big boys were the ones who were fretting, the ones with the muscles, the ones with the prestige, the one with the power, the ones who decided who lived and who died, the ones who decided who should get this money or have those taxes taken away from them, the ones who decided who should come into the temple, into God's presence, and who should not. Now, you heard of the word FOMO? Okay, so these pilgrims had come to the temple, and instead of encountering what they expected, something incredible, once in a lifetime, well, not even a lifetime, this historical event happened before their eyes, in their own language. God met with them through a motley crew of fishermen and tax collectors from Galilee. A bunch of losers. The big boys were it wasn't happening with the big boys. Isn't that great? Do you know when, I don't know if when you're at primary school, you do that old picking sports teams. We used to play that game with off the rubber tee and hit like rounders. Yeah, it was like that. The poor kids who they were dandelion pickers. They never got picked until the end, and then it was kind of, oh yeah, okay, you come. Yeah, it's a bit like that. But the guys who got picked first, they were left out of this, which I think is fabulous. God has got such, not just a sense of humor, but just an incredible sense of justice. Those who are last shall be first. And those who are first shall be last. So in conclusion, God sends his life-giving, empowering, assuring Spirit, whom Jesus has promised in John's Gospel to those who love him and keep his commands, saying that he will be their advocate, helping them and being with them forever. And then we will know because he will live within us and never leave us, John 14. He will live within us and he will never, ever leave us. Isn't that amazing? This God of transformation through his Holy Spirit transforms us and through us transforms the world. Now, with everything that's going on in the world at the moment, it is most in need of transformation as we've seen it for a long, long, long time. And I think most of us would agree with that. We are invited to be part of that transformation. One thing that really stood out to me as we did the resurrection series, and we had it in the reading today, the second thing Jesus said when he appeared to the disciples in that room, peace be with you, first thing. And the second thing, can you remember what it is? As I was sent, I am sending you. There's another purpose of the Holy Spirit, and that is to be sent. And we see that with the boldness of the proclamation of these disciples. Now, as a church, we are to carry two hands of the gospel. Two hands of the gospel. One is the gospel of reconciliation and charity and service. And on the other is the gospel of proclamation. Churches die because they only have one. You need to have both in each hand. You need to give a reason for your love and your service and your compassion. And the reason is Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. The other thing that struck me looking at John is the Trinitarian beauty of the Holy Spirit. It says in John that the Spirit is sent by me from the Father. And neither of them do anything without the other knowing. Trinitarian theology, early Trinitarian theology. There's not much of it in the New Testament, but it's here in John 14:15. So when we're discombobulated, the Holy Spirit is there for us, especially when we're discombobulated in times like this, like the disciples were. When we're getting tired and we don't know why. When our relationships have become strained in lockdown, and some of ours have. We know that. When we've lost a job, there are people losing jobs. There are people we know of losing jobs. This is when God becomes more real to us. Guys, what we're going to do is we're going to pray. And I'm just going to pray for all of us now. And I'll invite the band to come up. Let's bow our heads. So I pray for those who are feeling discombobulated, who are feeling tired, who are feeling stretched, who feel like they need another holiday after being locked down for 9 weeks. Lord, we pray your Holy Spirit come. And you bring your peace that surpasses all understanding upon those of us who are struggling, who are tired, fed up, unsure, worried, or fearful. Lord, bring your peace that surpasses all understanding through the power of your Spirit. We pray for those whose relationships have become strained. We pray for your grace. We pray for the power of your reconciliation through the power of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we pray for those whose futures are uncertain, for those friends we know who've lost jobs. Lord, may we comfort them. May you comfort them through us, and may you be with them, Holy Spirit. May you bring them hope. And Lord, as you were sent by the Father, and so you send us, equip us with boldness, with the both hands of the gospel of service and proclamation. Give us boldness, give us courage, because Lord, that is not of us. We know it is of you. Amen. Let's stand and let's worship God.